Hey everyone, this is Chris and you're listening to the Live Fix Podcast, the podcast that explores the concert fan experience. We believe live music is life-altering. Join us as we share stories and connect with concert fans to discover how live music forever rocks our world before, during, and after the show. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. What's happening, live music fans? We're so excited to be back, and we're going to kick off our welcome back episode with a series of really great concert stories from yours truly and my co-host Colleen. That's right, we're going to get into stories about the Grateful Dead and Colleen's first experience with the Grateful Dead in Chicago, and we're going to get into Wu-Tang Clan, Green Day, Aerosmith, New Kids on the Block, and we're even going to talk about Glenn Cochee from Wilco. Because I almost died at one of his shows, and I thought it was a good story, and that you could relate. So we're going to share some stories, and this is going to be, again, an experience if you're new to listening to the Live Fix podcast. I hope you enjoy this and kind of get a taste for what we're going to do with future episodes, getting to know other fans, getting to know their stories across all genres, young, old, new, veteran, and everybody in between, concert fans from all shapes and sizes, all genres, and hopefully all across the world. So again, we thank you very much for joining us. We're excited to be back, and we hope you enjoy the show. Hello, welcome to Live Fix Podcast. This is Chris.
This is Colleen.
And we are very excited to be back.
We're back.
After quite a while away, we did, I think, about 42 shows and decided to take a little break, but you know, we wanted to come back, and we're excited to be back.
We missed all of our fans and listeners.
Absolutely. Just going back and looking at some of the shows, you know, some of the interviews, some of the great conversations we had with our fellow live music fans over the years. Really excited to get back into that again. And I'll talk to all our fans that are going to shows, see what people have been doing over the last few years.
Things have changed.
You know? Oh, yeah.
It's not the same as it was when we did our podcast before. It's not the same.
Yes, the world is a much, much different place. There's more... You know, things to think about, you know, things like what do you do when the whole world shuts down and you can't go to shows because of a pandemic? You know, there were some virtual concerts happening, but not at the level and the way that they are happening today. You know, the metaverse is coming up.
And a lot of bands stopped performing. Yeah. Which is a problem to have. You can't have live music if they're not bands creating live music.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people, too, you know, I saw this and I thought about this during during COVID. You know, we all have memories. You know, we all have memories of our favorite shows. You know, so I imagine that a lot of people were trying to relive those things, those moments, those concert experiences to kind of cope with the fact you couldn't do it. You know, but people might have been reliving, you know, stuff on their phones.
You think a lot of people are going to YouTube?
YouTube videos, you
maybe
know,
they were
like
going
that.
To old shows on YouTube, or they were listening to, you know, live stuff on Spotify.
Probably. All I know is that it was hard, and I feel for music fans, myself, you, everybody, you know, that was craving live music, and all of a sudden it just was like shut down. You couldn't go see a show, like almost overnight. So
we lost a lot of venues that we'll never be able to go back to.
Yeah. And we're gonna get into that. So that's why we decided to come back and do our Live Fix podcast again. You know, there are lots of topics, there's lots of stories, lots of experiences that you all have been having that, you know, we didn't get a chance to explore. You know, experiments, explorations, things to kind of unpack what makes live music so life-altering, you know, and so amazing that, you know, we will spend lots of money, we will go to great lengths. And we got some stories that we want to tell about things that maybe we wouldn't do ordinarily, but because of the power and the awesomeness of live music, we will lie. We will do things maybe that we wouldn't do in other situations because live music is amazing. So lots of stories. And again, we're pumped to be back, you know, again, to share our personal experiences, our reflections on live music, and especially one of the most important things that I'm excited about, and I know you are, Colleen, is to talk to fans.
Absolutely. And also, you know, to talk to fans that went to shows before I was born. Yeah. That's very important for me. I like to hear the evolution of the live show and of the performer. So I really want to dive back, and I know we have some guests lined up.
We do.
That have some history. We're talking, again, 60s, 70s, that are still around and still are enjoying live music, but they have some really interesting memories and experiences from when they maybe saw the Doors or the Beatles.
Yeah.
I know we had someone who saw Elvis Presley on couple podcasts ago.
Yeah.
But so we're kind of going to revisit some of that. And we also are going to go into some of these venues that we've lost but are very historical for live music.
Yeah, we're gonna cover it all. You know, I think over the last few years, you know, I still, whether I'm at a family party or I'm hanging out with friends or, you know, at in a work environment, almost always in some way or fashion, live music comes up and people start talking about their music experiences. And let me tell you, it is like poetry. And they start telling about like how the music changed them or what the band made them feel or who they were with or, you know, all these experiences. So one of the things that, you know, there's this like framework that I've been thinking about, and we're going to kind of use that and some other stuff to kind of explore, you know, the live music stories, which is this idea that live music is not just about the moment in the venue. You know, it's there's this thing that the music is before, during, and after. It's like live music, there's things that are happening before the concert that you bring into the show. There's what happens to you during the show, and then after it, right? You experience it, and then you are probably a different person. I know that I've been to shows, and it's like, man, my life has been changed. It's like after I went to my first show, I was like, I am never going to be the same person.
And there's some shows that change you for the worst.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That could change you in a way that actually damages you, depending on what you saw at the show or what you experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have some guests discuss that, some trauma they've experienced at live music shows.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get into all that. You know, one of my favorite things besides going to shows is talking to fans. And I cannot wait to talk to some of our fans and hear what they're doing, what they've been experiencing. And, and just hear some crazy, funny stories, you know, some things that, you know, some of my highlights of previous episodes, you know, where fans were talking about, you know, a tattoo that they saw on the back, you know, of an artist, you know, and like how that inspired them to get their own tattoo. You know, you take a picture of something and inspire somebody else, and you got this great like concert story that lives on and goes out beyond the actual concert, and it's just like transforms the whole moment. So it's just stuff like that, and that's why we're excited to be back. You know, I was kind of looking around, going on the Reddit forums, looking at YouTube comments. You know, just seeing all different types of things. You know, people are posting some really sweet things on Instagram, you know, on TikTok, and just seeing, you know, people going crazy in mosh pits and all types of stuff. So there's so much to explore, and we can't wait, you know, to do that. So one of the things that we thought would be great is that
to kick off,
right?
A welcome back treat.
Yeah. This like welcome back thing is what better way to do it than to kind of crack open the archive of your favorite shows and my favorite shows and dive into a little bit of the why and a little bit of, you know, like what makes that moment so special. You know, like what did it do for you? What did it mean in that moment? Get it a little into the before, during, and after stuff. So, you know, we might
what we can remember, what's fresh in our minds about those moments.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing too. You mentioned that it's like what, you know, what pops up about that memory is very significant, you know, and you know, you might recall a concert differently right after the concert, and then like 10 years ago or 10 years later something else will pop up. I know that happened to me. I was like kind of preparing for the podcast, and I was looking at some of my old concert reviews that I was writing and some experiences, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I felt that. Like, I had no idea. So it's like I was kind of going through a little bit of nostalgia, but a little bit of memory and a little bit of reflection.
So do you have a concert journal or a concert scrapbook you kind of go back to?
No, honestly, it's all the concert reviews I did. You know, I had hundreds, I don't know if thousands is the right word, but I know at least hundreds of different reviews and different moments, concerts that I cataloged, I blogged about them. And I was just reviewing other things, and I was like, man, that's really crazy. You know, and I can kind of shot myself right back to the first row or the moment I was writing it down. So it's just, you know, and that can happen for fans, right? I think that's what we want to get into. We want to get into a little bit of like what's happening in our brains, you know, what's happening in our bodies, what's happening in our souls, you know, all that stuff, spirits, you know, just the whole thing, you know. And you and I've been kind of talking about, like, what's the, you know, does drugs or alcohol play a role? We know it does, but how, right? So that's something we might get into, but yeah, I've been kind of going through stuff. How about you?
I'm not a big journaler.
Yeah,
but I like to, if I go to a festival, and I'm more of like a travel journaler.
Mm-hmm.
So if the concert I went to is based on a traveling experience, I can go back and read it. And I'm a big proponent of journaling, but not always concert journaling, which I think could be very interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
And will allow you to really remember the things that you can kind of dissect later on if you need to. If it was a time you spent with family, I know we've had people on the show that went to concerts with their dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll sort of talk about some of the shows that I went to with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wish I would have wrote those things down. Because I do think there were things that I maybe forgot or didn't remember. You know, now I don't remember what happened, but they were very impactful. And the stuff that I do remember was amazing. So those little things, maybe people, some of the people I was with, I don't remember I was with, you know, because of memory. I wish I had journaled it so I could go back and say, okay, yeah, 95, I did this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was with this person, I saw this, and I really didn't keep a great journal. So I think going forward, and any of the shows that I go to, I think I'm going to do some journaling.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, a great point that, you know, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, like, you know, what's Life Fix podcast about? Well, it's about a few things, but it's definitely about what Colin was, what you were just talking about there, you know, and saying, hey, you know, we want to catalog, we want to archive the experiences, you know, because that was really part of our initial intention of kicking off this podcast many years ago. feels like that anyways. Episode one, what inspired us to do that, that first episode, was that, you know, we wanted some way to archive and to catalog the experiences for the very reasons I was just mentioning, is that live music alters our life. It changes us. And we need to capture that in some way. And what better way than to have fans talk about that in a conversation like this? You know, so hopefully we could do that. We've done it in the past. We're excited again to do that. And hope, you know, if you're listening to this and you have a live music journal and you want to tell us kind of, you know, what's in there or why you started it, we'd love to have you on and talk about that. And
maybe you can read it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's not anything like super secret, they don't want anyone to know. I mean, maybe it just would be a great opportunity to share your experience firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know I was rereading some of my old reviews, and we'll get into this, you know, in a little bit. But I was reading some of my reviews, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize I wrote that or I felt that. You know, so there's some power and there's some real good reasons why you'd want to write down what you're feeling about that concert experience, because you go back and it really helps you see, you know, it's just there's a value in going back and you know, reflecting on all that stuff. So cool. So that's a little bit about us, you know, a little bit about what's going to come on future episodes. And I think it's a good time now to get into a little bit of our own stories. So I think, on this episode in particular, we're going to kind of kick it off, but on future episodes, you can expect us to kind of dip into our own personal archives, kind of like if you're familiar with the Desert Island Jukebox, you know, some our favorite music critics have this thing where they say, if you were stranded on a desert island, what song would you want to pop into the desert island jukebox and play, right? So think about this in a live music context.
So it might be like, who do you have at a festival?
Yeah, if you were stuck on,
if you're at your favorite dive
desert
bar.
Island, you know, it's desert island live music, right? Like, who could you see? Who would you want to have play for you? Or what person in your life do you want to go to a show with?
Or what song?
Yeah, what song do you want to have them just completely play over and over again, you know, or recreate a certain show that you went to? So we're kind of dive into that and put our own spin on the desert island jukebox pick and just say, hey, you know, what about live music? You know, what show, you know, do you want to go to again, relive if you could, and why? You know, so we're going to kind of kick that off a little bit, and yeah, we'll do that right now. So do you want me to go first? You want to go first? How do you want to?
I'd like to go first.
Want to go first? All right. So what would be one of the shows that you would pick?
So I have five, and they are not in any order at all, particular. Like, they're not, there's not like one favorite. They're all at the same level.
Okay.
Okay.
No, man, you shouldn't say such things about your mother.
Unless you mean it.
Smoke them if you got them.
My first is going to be the Green Day show that I went to at UIC Pavilion in 1995. Actually, it was in November, the 22nd to be exact.
Mm.
The internet has helped me be a little more specific about these dates.
Sure, sure.
Because we have a great thing called the internet now, and we can search in Google. So, so I went to that show, and I didn't even know I was going to that show that night.
Where? What do you mean?
I was in at that time. I don't know if I should. Am I dating myself if I say what I was doing at that time? Probably. So I was in high school at that time. Okay. And I was at basketball practice.
Yeah.
Which we had to run a lot in basketball practice. I don't know if it was like my favorite sport to be in, but yeah, it was one of the sports I was in. And all of a sudden my dad showed up at the gym doors, like when we're running our sprints. I'm like, what's this about? Hopefully there's not an emergency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he came in, and he was all dressed like he came from work. So he had his like full suit on and tie. And he walked over to the coach, and I didn't quite hear everything they were saying, but they were talking. And then all of a sudden my coach like signaled to me, come here.
Uh-huh.
And he said, your dad's here. You have a dentist appointment. And I'm like, okay, no one told me about a dentist appointment, but okay, I believe he's here for a reason. This is weird. I'm going to go with it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we get outside. We get outside, and then we're like outside of the school, and my dad goes, actually, you don't have a dentist appointment.
Mm.
We're going to the Green Day concert tonight.
So he lied to your coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes
it's like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was kind of he did in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know, she's sick. There's a funeral. Simone's got to come out of class.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had a dentist appointment.
Yes, I had a dentist appointment. So I was super excited.
I hope your volleyball coach isn't listening to this.
No, it's basketball.
Oh, basketball. I'm sorry. Basketball.
So I got home. I changed. And then that show, we had a limo take us. So we got in the limo, and then we went to, that was kind of my dad. He loved doing limos because he didn't have to worry about parking then. So there was a couple shows that we did the limo
just
thing.
Roll up and roll out.
Yeah, it worked perfect.
Yeah.
So we went to the show, and my dad was there with me. We had pretty good seats. I mean, there definitely was like mosh pit seats, and then there was, you know, seats up on the sides, like in actual seats or stadium seats.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to be in the mosh pit a little bit, but then I started when the show started and I saw what really was going on. I don't think, you know, I was kind of naive to think like I could have survived the mosh pit. It was pretty rowdy, and there was security down there. There was people like being flipped over and, you know, all kinds of falling, you know, people were holding them up, and then all of a sudden you saw them splat on the ground. So, you know, I mean, it was
so fun, but
but I showed up and I saw friends there, and I'd been telling them all week. I've been telling them I'm not going. I'm not, you know, I didn't get a ticket for the show. I'm not going, you know.
So how did your dad know that you wanted to go?
It was my favorite band at the time.
So
you know, super into the Dookie album.
You were talking about it all the time around him?
Yeah, I listened to it all the time. Yeah, of course. I was listening to it all the time. And I'm sure I brought it up, and, you know, at that point, a lot of my friends had tickets. And so when I showed up, they're like, how did you get tickets? You know, now you're here. And so then I got to kind of hang out with them and connect with them because they were in different areas, different seats. So it was a fabulous show. And it was right around, it was the concert after his famous Milwaukee show.
Yeah.
Where he mooned the audience.
Billy Joel.
So, yeah.
Mooned the audience.
And so he was kind of like toying with that idea of doing it again.
In Milwaukee?
Yeah, like the show prior. And he was actually, I think there was some, he had gotten in trouble for it at some point. So it was like big news.
Wow.
And so he was like, teasing the audience. Like, I'm going to do it again, or who cares, you know, profanities, all those. He was kind of I wouldn't say that they were punk, but they were probably the closest, maybe, they were the closest to what we had as far as punk and pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And also, this was the show where my chain wallet was taken.
Oh, yes.
You know, that was my, I loved this chain wallet. And when I got there, they were security, obviously.
Yeah.
And I totally didn't even realize, I guess, I know that sounds crazy, but I didn't realize I had the chain on and the wallet and everything. And actually, I didn't think that they would really care. But now that I'm looking back, it could have been used as a weapon in the mosh pit. So they made me, the chain had to be kept, and then wallet had, but
did the wallet have any significance to it? Was it a gift?
Well, the wallet I got to keep, it was the chain part that they made me take off. And so then what they did is they basically threw it away in front of me in a trash can.
Oh, wow. It kind of,
I know, which I wish they would have just like leaved it somewhere over there so I could have got it after or something.
They made you watch that.
Yeah, I had to actually watch that. So, and I think it was from Hot Topic.
So what did your dad say? Did he watch that get thrown away?
Yeah. You know, we fought it a little bit, but I mean, they didn't care. They were taking everyone's chains, wallets, because that was a big thing then. Everyone had chain wallets.
Did your dad have a chain wallet?
No.
You didn't have a chain wallet?
No chain wallets for him, no.
Oh. All right, so you're going right through it. You're doing the before?
Yeah.
You're during? So what was the show like? What's the most memorable part of the Green Day show that stands out to you?
Basket Case.
He never mooned anybody, right?
No, I think never when he happened. Played Basket Case and like Longview and all those songs that were like the top 10, you know, hits or whatever that time. I think when they played, the crowd just went wild when they played those songs. So I think just being able to sing and be around other fans that just really appreciated Green Day for what they were. Because I think they were laughed at as a band a little bit, like I feel like from older generation at that time, I think Green Day was kind of like, just like grunge was kind of like, I felt like laughed at a little bit until now we appreciate it. You know, I think down the road or down the line here, now we've appreciated a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I think it was a band that, that people didn't quite understand, but I think they've stuck around. You know, they've come out with new stuff. They had a play on Broadway. You know, there's been some new innovative things that they've done.
Yeah.
So
was your dad with you the whole show? Or did you...
He was there the whole time. Yeah, he sat by us.
And go down into the pit?
No,
stayed your seats the whole time?
You had to have tickets and a pit pass.
Oh, okay.
Some kind of other... And I didn't have that. But I think I was... It was probably better I didn't.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty wild in the pit.
Okay. You know? So...
And I don't think my dad would have let me...
No?
I don't think he would have been okay with me going in the pit. Because that's a pretty... It was a pretty scary area, so...
Yeah.
Like I said, people were actually getting hurt.
I can see that. I've been to some.
You should never go to a concert and come home in an ambulance.
True. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get hurt and it's kind of fun. I don't know. Maybe that's a whole other show.
And I think this kind of leads us into one of your favorite shows or one of your top shows that you went to that was a big impact on your life.
Yeah. So if we were to tap into my concert archive in the cloud, pull it download one of those from the old memory bank up in the brain cloud. For me, it had to be. And the funny thing about this one, until you brought it up, I kind of forgot about it, which is so weird because this whole concert experience was probably one of the most traumatic that I've had, and.
I think it's one of the more traumatic things in my life, too.
Yeah, you were kind of brought into the mix for sure. Yeah, so to set the scene a little bit, so this is 2005, Illinois, DeKalb, Illinois, which is like a northern suburb, northwest suburb from Chicago, about an hour outside at least. And this place called Otto's. And I'm a huge Wilco fan. I love their albums.
It's kind of a small venue.
Yeah, Otto's. Yeah, it was really. It's a really cool venue. If you're ever in the Chicagoland area, check out Otto's. And really cool place. A lot of bands kind of, cut their teeth there a little bit. And it's got character. It's a great place. And it's one of the places that Wilco played as they became more and more popular in that being in that Chicago area. So. This is right after Ghost is Born had come out, and Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was close after that, that kind of era. And Glenn Cochi, I think, I hope I'm saying his last name right, I always get that wrong. Sorry, Glenn, if you're listening to this. But he had this album out, a solo album called Mobile. And I went to see it with my friend. And during the show, there was like a little warm up, and then the show was kind of starting, and then all of a sudden, things start to get a little fuzzy in my eyes, and then I kind of put my hand on my friend's shoulder, and I was like, and then I started to sweat, and then I was like, oh my, like I don't feel so good, and then things kind of got a little hard to see, my vision got blurry, and then. The next thing I know, my friend or somebody's tugging on my, saying something, and I open my eyes, but I can't see anything. Really strange. It was like I had lost my vision. And then little by little, I started to see the first face was my friend. And I was like, okay, what's going on? What's happening? And I tried to lift my arms and my legs, and they felt like big, like heavy fire hoses. I couldn't like lift anything. And eventually my vision kind of came back, and I hear my friend saying like, oh, no, he didn't take any drugs. He wasn't drinking, or all of a sudden he just passed out, all this stuff. So I was like, okay. And I had my back up, I was back up against the bar, and, kind of looking, and then I looked left, I looked right, and I'm like, okay, I'm in a venue. Oh, I'm at the Glenn Cochi show. I had to figure out like where I was, And so I kind of look around, and my friend, he's still kind of explaining to somebody, and they're like, yeah, we got to call an ambulance because he doesn't look good at all. And, you know, he was unconscious. It's like, okay. So I just hear people like talking about me, and I can't.
But you can't see anything.
Well, my vision was kind of going in and out, but I hear people talking about me, but I can't talk, you know? And then eventually.
Can you hear the music?
Yeah, they were playing, and I hear, yeah, that's why when I listen to the Glenn Coachy album, like it, I hear, like, it kind of brings me back a little bit because I can kind of, it was like a background music to this weird experience. So yeah, so they call an ambulance, and I go, okay, you know, I think I said something about you, and then, you know, my friend jumps with me into the ambulance. And long story short, obviously I never didn't get to see the show. It didn't happen. And we both left. And, you know, at the hospital again, long story short, I had what they called a non-diabetic hypoglycemic episode. It basically bottomed out on my sugar. And the doctor came up to me and she said, you know, you're lucky to be alive because your body was basically shutting down because you were depleting of your sugar. And so from that point on, you know, I always make sure to have, you know, like a Payday bar, or some kind of protein bar or something like that, and sugar with me. But it hasn't happened again. But man, that was traumatic because I was, yeah, they said, you know, had I not, you know, one, had my friend there and, you know, gotten to the hospital soon enough, things could have been pretty bad. But every time I listen to the Glenn Coachy album, Mobile,
it brings you back.
I don't have flashbacks or like PTSD or anything like that, but it definitely sends me back. And yeah, until you mentioned it, like I was like, oh yeah, like I almost died at that show. Like that's, I don't know. Did people like block stuff out? Maybe that was like because I, you know, you block
it was
out
so traumatic.
You block out trauma happens, so sure. You can like deal with stuff. Like that was, you know, I had a traumatic episode at the concert. And it took you, because I'm preparing for this show, and I'm like, oh yeah, my show. And you're like, oh, what about Wilco? And when you passed out, I was like, oh yeah, you mean the one where I almost died? I forgot about that. You know, I was like, how could you forget about that?
Well, I think for a while after this experience, you weren't sure if it was going to happen again, because there were some things that at the show, I think it was kind of really packed venue. It was super warm in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other things that maybe were factors. You know, obviously there's what you were putting in your body and not putting it, like as far as sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a sense of a little anxiety when you're going to shows after that, because, you know, the ambulance came and that whole thing.
It was, I was always kind of scared. Like I always, like from that point on, I don't do it anymore, but I always make sure to eat before a show. But every show after that, I would always have a payday candy bar, like in my pocket, like every show. I'd always have like a Payday. I was like, I'm going to a concert. I would always have a, you know, like.
I think hydration is very important too.
Yeah.
People don't realize that at shows, and you do see a lot of people dehydrate. And I'm sure, like, if we ever had, I'd love to have someone on that's in that ambulance booth for shows. And they could tell us like one of the top 10 reasons, the top 5 reasons why people end up seeing them or having to go to the hospital because of a show. I mean, one obviously is like intoxication. I'm sure that's like a high one, but I think dehydration is up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, people who are fighting end up in those booths too, like domestic, you know, people who are fighting with their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend or their friends, or they lost their friend. Mm-hmm. That's another scenario I could see ending up there. But it would be interesting to interview someone. So if there's anyone listening that's a live music fan that actually volunteers at shows, I'd love to have them on.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take care of yourself. Yeah. I was, you know, concerned. Definitely more aware of what I was eating, drinking, all that kind of stuff. So again, the before, during, and after. Came to the show before, you know, excited, probably a little under, you know, my nutrition was garbage, you know, I guess, you know, and we don't really think about that, like what we're eating before a show. You know, you think about you know, what you're drinking. And we put things into our bodies to either enhance the show or, you know, mellow us out or just chill out. Like there's, and that, again, I think I would love to get into all that and like how that experience, but
nutrition and live music.
Yeah. You want to call it nutrition and live music. That's a good one. But I think, yeah, it's just, you know, important to explore that too. But yeah, for me, that was one of my top shows. How could you not have that show on the list, right? If you, a show,
exactly.
A show you almost die at though.
So. My next one could be kind of,
yeah. What about you? So you're,
it could be kind of exciting and traumatic a little bit, but in a good way, if that's possible.
Yeah. What's your
Let
show?
Me explain. So my next show on the list would be seeing the New Kids on the Block. When they came around for the reunion, though. I never got to see them when they were...
You said traumatic?
Like, kind of... I'll explain okay. Why I mean. Like, okay. Exciting,
I'm
traumatic.
Intrigued. I'm intrigued.
They went around with Boys to Men, and they did a reunion tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 98 Degrees was there. I'm pretty certain that they were there, too.
Probably.
And fairly recent, in the last like probably 10 years, I went to this. I don't know, the last time
they came
around.
So we're going from 1995 to...
Yeah, so we're jumping around
a little
bit. To the
2000s here.
But my story is why they're traumatic, is it was going real well. Actually, this is a show that I went with my friend Andrea, who loves, she like loves live music. So we've done a couple shows together. But randomly, I was with all of her friends, and I didn't know any of them. So sometimes shows can be very, they can be amazing to go to and you don't know any, you know, with people you don't really know and you kind of meet new friends that way. So, and you could just hang out with old friends you've had for a while. But all I can remember is that there was a lot of screaming and a lot of singing and it was like all women pretty much filling this venue. Okay. And
I don't know if I'd want to be there.
And it felt like...
Maybe I would want to. I don't know.
It felt like, boy band heaven. That's the best that I could say. I mean, we're missing like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
But it was a couple of the boy bands that I remember. And I grew up like wanting everything that was New Kids on the Block was on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they were on a pillowcase, I wanted that for whatever reason. If they were, like, little figures or pillow figures, I wanted that. I mean, most of my friends were the same way. We wanted everything, and it was so hard to get everything.
Sure.
We wanted every CD that, or tape that came out. And so when I got a chance, my friend said, let's go. It's a reunion tour. I got some tickets. My friend got some tickets. She knows somebody. And I was like, all right. And they were good seats. And so I knew almost every song. I mean, they're all top 10 radio hits. But what I was not expecting is that, like, I think it was about halfway through, towards the end, they shut all the lights down. And are you in suspense now? They shut all the lights down.
Yeah.
And they announced that they had a friend that we might all know that was going to come in and sing a song.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, a spotlight came on.
Yeah.
And there was Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, wow.
Which, I mean, come on. Everybody knows who Vanilla Ice is.
Right, right. Ice Baby himself.
And of course, he started the song Ice Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one that he sang.
That's it.
And then he...
One shot.
He walked off the stage, but I mean, he blew everybody away. Everyone's so excited. They were singing the song. People were crying. I mean, it was intense. I would say I was sort of traumatized because
you? Yeah, did you cry?
I wasn't expecting that, and so I was like in shock. That's the type of trauma I was in. I was like in
shock, like oh my god, this
like
is amazing.
I can't believe I get to like actually, who would have thought I'd ever get the chance to hear Vanilla Ice?
Yeah,
in person live.
There he was.
I mean, doesn't really tour that much. He's kind of got this like weird DIY side business thing on one of the cable channels. So
some metal band.
I don't think he's really going to be doing a lot of live music stuff. Maybe guest appearances.
I don't know. Sounds like he was pretty.
He just had a commercial recently too. I saw. During the Super Bowl, I think it was. There was a commercial. So, but to see him live, you know, it was a big deal before my life ended. It's a big deal. So I think I was really excited about that.
So seeing Vanilla Ice live was on your bucket list?
I think it was something on my bucket list that I didn't realize was on my bucket list until I was there and experienced it.
Until it popped out on the stage there and like, wow, okay, this was important to me.
Right.
Gotcha. So the during, you had this moment.
It was like a moment of a lifetime. You know, and I wasn't expecting them to like, and he never did this with any of the other shows, my understanding is like there was a couple shows like in a row. There was like two or three nights, and we were the only show that he had a guest appearance.
So, has there been other comparable shows that you were surprised, like guest appearances? Anyone stand out to you?
I think when I saw Lindsay Lohan.
But she wasn't. No, I'm talking about like a concert.
She wasn't actually singing.
Right.
But she showed up to.
But she didn't perform.
She didn't perform. But she was
like Vanilla Ice, like somebody like
actually performed.
Like, was that like the show? And you know, you're here to see this person, and boom, all of a sudden, hey, we have this special guest. Like, you know.
I think that might be the only like big, really big shock.
Like, oh my gosh! Yeah. I can't believe. Yeah. Well, you think on that, and maybe we come back on another show. So Vanilla. Okay, so New Kids on the Block. And then,
do you want me to do another one?
So my turn.
I think it's your turn.
Maybe we
go
back and forth, right?
Your turn, yeah.
All right. I don't know how do I compete with Vanilla Ice? We're not competing, right? This is not contest, is it? No.
I don't think you would have liked that experience as much as I did, like that show.
Yeah, I don't want to say like a guy thing or anything like that on this, but I'm just like, yeah, I was not into New Kids on the Block.
98 degrees. Boys to Men.
I have been known to recite the entire lyrics of Ice Ice Baby, though. I will admit that. So that's probably the only show or the only part of that show that I probably would have enjoyed. You know, because
I was on kind of like a music high for quite a bit after that.
Yeah, for sure. I think we got to come back. We got to come back to that. We'll just have a Vanilla Ice surprise show episode or something like that. But again, you'll hear this say us a lot on the show. If you were at any of these shows, like, we'd love to hear your experience. And maybe, you know, we can have a different perspective of what Colleen just shared. And be interesting to see, like, what somebody else thought of the surprise Vanilla Ice appearance. So it's my turn now. I guess I got to pick.
It's your turn.
All right. So my pick, and this is so hard. Like, this is really hard to do. But I think I want to go with one that was really interesting because this is so hard. Lists are so hard for me. But I guess it's a little bit easier knowing that we're going to be able to dive into these things on future shows. So it's really, I can just pick one and kind of run with it. My first show that I ever went to, my first concert, like bona fide concert, right? Bought a ticket, went in, heard all that kind of stuff, right, was Aerosmith in high school. And the story behind this concert is that I had to lie, like a little white lie, in order to get to it, because my parents weren't, you know, I guess you shared something about your parents. I'll share something about my parents, and I'm sure lots of concert fans, you know, can say, hey, you know, my parents factor into their somewhere along their concert experience, their first show. Like, so I got invited to go see Aerosmith, and I believe this was, this is in the 90s, I think. High school era, kind of. And I had a couple friends that got tickets, and they were a little bit older than me, and they said, hey, Chris, let's go. And I was like, I don't know if my mom or my parents, my mom and dad will let me go. So I forget what I told my mom or my parents, or what I was doing, or what, you know, what was going on. But I ended up going to show, and it was amazing. And I ended up having, you know, just a fantastic time. And I did what every concert fan does at a show. I got a concert shirt, t-shirt, right? Because that's how
you got to wear it to school.
Can't
see
it right
day.
Now, but I'm wearing a live music shirt. I'm wearing band shirt. You know, I love live music, and that's one of the ways that I kind of commemorate my concert experiences. Like a lot of fans, is that you get the concert shirt, right? You get the tour shirt. So I bought the tour shirt, and like a lot of concert fans, I took off the shirt I was wearing and I put the concert shirt on. And that's always like debatable, right? Sometimes people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't wear the concert shirt at the actual show. You should wear it afterwards. I was like, no, I don't care. I'm going to put it on. So I put it on. Having an amazing time. You know, people are, drinking the beers. And I'm just like, oh, this is great. I was in high school. I was like looking around. I didn't have anything to drink. But people around me, you know, smoking weed and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great. You know, and looking around, and show gets done. We're driving home. The moment ends. And, a few weeks go by. And I hung up my shirt in my closet. And I didn't wash it. And because it was like this, you know, sacred piece of clothing. You know, it was like a, you know, some kind of religious cloak, you know, hanging in there. And it was very special. So I didn't wash it, right? It's like when you shake someone's hand that's famous, you don't wash your hand for like ever, right? I've done that before. But I forgot that, you know, from time to time, my mom would do my laundry. You know, she'd come in and, you know, grab my dirty clothes or whatever from time to time and go do that. So she comes in and I was at school, I guess, and I get home, and she says, Chris, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, what's this about? You know? And I said, well, she said, I saw a shirt in your closet. And she said, I not only saw the shirt, but I smelled something on the shirt. I was like, okay. And I was kind of worried about that, because on the way home from the concert, I was like kind of smelling my shirt. And I was like, oh, this is like, it was absorbing the moment, you know, it smelled like pot and all that stuff. So it was like, you know, I was hoping, I kind of put the shirt actually like in the back, so you couldn't see it in the closet. It was covered with other shirts, but I guess the smell was quite strong and I didn't realize that. So she smelled it. She looked at it. She's like, how did he get an Aerosmith concert concert shirt? Where did he come? Where did he get that from? You know, and so I told her, and she's like, "Wow, you know." She's like, "Did you, were you smoking weed, you know, at the show?" I said, "No, that's from people that were around me." You know, I was like, "I just wanted to go to the show with my friends." And then she said, "Okay, don't lie to me again." Blah blah blah. You know, I think some point at that point she, like, we start talking about some of her concerts. So it actually led to this like cool moment where I was talking to my mom about concerts and all kind of stuff. But
Was she mad you lied?
Yeah. Yeah, she was mad that I lied. And I think that was part of, you know, probably shouldn't have done that, but...
You think you would have been able to go if you asked her up front?
It was debatable. It was debatable.
So it's a hard call. That's a hard call.
It's like my first show. You know, it's just like, yeah. This is, and you know, that was, Aerosmith at the time had some really good music out, the Living on the Edge and some of the big songs that they had in the 90s there. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I got to take this chance. So I rolled the dice. I rolled the concert dice and elected to lie to my mom and go to the show. And yeah, I think it was all right. But I had that shirt for a long, long time, and that smell never left that shirt. Like, it just, like, I washed it, and it still smelled like the concert. And I have a lot of shirts like that. I have a lot of concert shirts that retain the smell of the show. So again, that's another exploration, because there's a whole nother thing that we can definitely get into at some point, are the senses. And
they say the smell is one of the strongest areas that, I guess, it filters to the limbic system in your brain. Mm-hmm. And so when people have trauma, or if they want to remember something good or bad, smell is very strong. Whereas a sight has to be filtered through our brains. So there's a whole different process in taking in that memory. So that's why some people, food, you smell something, it will remind you of your grandma's house when you used to go for Thanksgiving or for the Sunday meal or whatever. So we'll have to explore that. The senses and shows, episode.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things, as I was reviewing a lot of our stuff that we've done in the past, I did all these experiments where I would blindfold myself at shows and then kind of talk about that. I blindfolded myself at Radiohead and kind of saw half of the show without seeing the band. And when I took my eyes off, I took my blindfold off, I actually enjoyed the show better with it on. So I put the blindfold back on for most of the show, but it was, I had to be careful, like, people around me. But I thought that was interesting for what you just, maybe for the reasons what you just said, sight, sound, smell, touch, all that stuff, huge part of live music experience for sure. So.
I think my last but not least, mm-hmm. is when I saw the Grateful Dead in 1995. So I actually saw the Green Day show and Grateful Dead show were the same.
Which one did you see first?
The Grateful Dead show happened before, because the Green Day happened in November. Grateful Dead happened that summer before.
Okay.
So I think the Grateful Dead one sort of started my desire to want to go to more shows.
So Grateful Dead was first.
That happened first. That was the summer before.
And then Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Again, it was one that I went with my dad. So
you didn't see the Green Day. You didn't see the whole dentist thing, like.
I didn't see it coming.
You didn't really didn't. Even though.
I really didn't see it coming.
Tell the story.
So the Grateful Dead show, again, was in 95. It was the last show that Jerry did before he died.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. Wow. It was on 7/9. And it was at Soldier Field in Chicago. And that I knew about. Again, we took a limo there. The funny story about it was... I had two friends that I really wanted to take. And my dad said, you can take one friend. Imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Grateful Dead is always a treat to see. But imagine if you could get a free ticket from one of your friends.
They're amazing.
Like, if you were able to, if you were approached by one of your friends and said, I have a ticket, like, I want to take you. So I had two friends. The first friend I asked, she said, parents are not going to go for this. I asked them, it's not going to happen. Mm. I think it was because it was the Grateful Dead and, maybe... that kind of scared parents a little bit. because they're just kind of known to have a lot of partying that goes on, and you know, I don't know. Yeah, I think that kind of scares parents.
The parking lot. It's called Shakedown Street.
Parking lot. Yeah. Right. So, but my dad was going to the whole thing. He was going to sit next to us, so there was none of that, you know, happening. Obviously. But we, at least we weren't doing it. There was obviously a lot of that at the show, but we were not doing that.
Yeah.
And, we enjoyed it. And, so then I asked another friend, the second friend, and she said, you know, my parents are not going to let me go, but I really, really want to go. I think she was more of a Deadhead or Grateful Dead fan than I was. Cause at the time I only knew like their greatest hits. I maybe knew one or two songs. My dad's friends actually were big Deadheads, and so he kind of got into it. He wasn't a big Deadhead, but his friends were, and it was an opportunity of a lifetime to see him in Soldier Field. So my friend said, I'm going to call our friend who couldn't go, and she's going to be our liar. She's going to lie for us. Okay?
So here we go again.
So
right?
She called, so she told her parents, I'm going to be staying overnight at the friend who couldn't go. And, you know, call her if there's any problems. And the parents never called to, like, follow that up.
Yeah.
But we weren't expecting that when we arrived at the show in our grand limo. Because, again, we Another avoided limo, parking man. And yeah. all that stuff. We were on the 5 o'clock news in Chicago.
Go figure.
They were taping us getting out of the limo, and because they were talking about alternative transportations for the show. That was the show topic.
That was the angle.
Yeah. And actually we bought a copy of the news reel. It was on a VHS, and one day I left it. We had our TV was kind of near our screen.
Oh no!
It got rained on.
Oh,
it rained inside the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Ruined it. And it was probably at least $100 to get this, because we actually got it from the studio.
From the studio,
because it was just so cool. We were on there, and then they had the Grateful Dead music in the background. But anyway, so the problem with that is that my friend who is the liar for us, she called us at some point and said, just so you know, you were just on the 5 o'clock news. And my friend said, oh no. My parents only watch the 5 o'clock news.
Yeah.
So she was pretty worried she was going to get caught, you know, but we had a great time, and it was some great, you know, they played Touch of Grey. They started out with Touch of Grey, and it was Jerry wasn't on his game, really. Yeah. I mean, there was some
miss
lyrics.
That's still a historical concert, though. That was the last show.
There was definitely some miss lyrics. Don't know how much he was with it, and he perished pretty much, you know, in a treatment center. You know, after that. So, but we had a good time, and there, you know, there was a lot of interesting characters. Like her and I always, you know, we always talk about how great of a time it was, and it was the concert that I was introduced to what a live show really could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the community aspect of it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, the Grateful Dead, they're notorious. There's not one live show that is similar to the next. I mean, they're all different.
Yeah.
And that's why people get into them and collect those live music and listen to those live shows, because each one is very different in its own way. And they were one of the only bands that really could do that. They could really have fans religiously come out to every live show. Yeah. And it feel like it was a new show and a new way that they ever heard that song. And I was introduced to that in that way. And in the community piece of, like you talked about the parking lot and some of the people that you meet at these shows, are just, it's pretty amazing. And I don't know that there's too many bands out there that have been able to really create that.
Yeah.
And I hope that there are. I hope going forward that there's going to be more bands that, and even festivals that could create community. I'm not sure that virtually we can do that yet. It may be possible, Yeah. You know, there's a lot of virtual reality now, and you know, the Meta and all of that, that that people are watching shows on. But I don't know that we could get that same community feel, not in person. I'm not sure I'm sold on that yet, but it may come to fruition and be the reality.
Yeah, no, the Dead are definitely. I think you definitely turned me on to them in a deeper way. I was familiar with them, and the significance of that 1995 show, I think, is huge, obviously, to say the least. But the aspect of what they do, or what the experience has created a live show, I think is really the pinnacle of community at a live music. And if you know, if you were to take away the community aspect from the Grateful Dead and the fan base, I think there would be something missing. You know, obviously there's the music, and then people come and join around the music and how the music makes them feel, and then from there it just seems to, you know, just flow a strong sense. You know, there's people twirling or expressing themselves. They're not really caring about what they look like, you know, and they're just there together in the moment, you know, living very present. You know, I think that's something I love watching. I love watching people watch a show of the Grateful Dead. It's probably one of my favorite shows to people watch at, whether it's a YouTube video or archive video, or, you know, bands that are similar to the Dead too, that are been inspired by them. Going to a jam band show live is one of my favorite things. Is not necessarily the music, but it's the people, you know, very friendly, very communal, very, you know, hey man, let's just, you know, have a good time. Not that other genres don't, but I think there's much more of a, you know, depending on the genre, there's definitely the vibe and the level of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it friendliness or community centric.
Most of their fans, you know, are pretty dedicated.
The essence
too. There's a dedication.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, you wouldn't have the Dead culture if you didn't have a live experience. I mean, safe to say, like, the Dead built their fan base and their, you know, legendary status off of the live music experience. You know, I don't know if there's many Dead fans that would argue with that, but, you know, the albums that they put out, studio albums, don't compare it to their live shows, you know, and all the stuff that they create and can do. And I think the band even has said that before, right? That they weren't really excited to record. And I think I've heard them say this before. You can correct me if I'm wrong, or correct me how it said it, but I think they didn't like the studio because the fans weren't there. I think Phil Lesh or somebody was talking about how they get inspired because of the connection that they have with the fans at the show, you know, the energy that they feel. It's a huge part of that. So it's just this awesome centric kind of, you know, cycle that the band's feeding off of them, the fans are feeding off the band, and that's like this, yeah, it's pretty sweet. So you introduced me to that, and I think, you know, you've told me that story 1,000 times, and it just never gets old, you know, that show that you've been at.
I also think sometimes seeing community at a live show or before a show, it inspires you to believe that when people are gathered, they could actually be beneficial to each other. Mm. And I think, I don't know that I always saw that in the communities I lived in, but when I went to these live shows and I could see these perfect strangers, some of them knew each other, you know, if they toured, whatever, went on tour. But the ones that didn't know each other, they still were able to connect in a very real, authentic way that you don't always see even in your own neighborhoods that you live in. And that inspired me to believe that you can create community, you can create like-minded people together, and it might be because of music. Mm-hmm. And it might be a shared interest in music. Anyone that I talk to now that will say, oh, I used to like the Grateful Dead, or I like them still, or I listened to them, or I saw them, there's a kindred spirit. You can connect with them.
Yep.
You know, oh, what did you like about them? Or what, you know, what show did you see? Or what other bands do you listen to now that are like them? There's a connection right off the bat. And I have not had that. I'm sure there are bands like that, but I've not had that with any other band that I've listened to or artist. So what is your last one?
Yeah, my last one. So we're gonna swing over to different genre. But one of my favorite genres to see live, because of the energy that this genre brings and the spontaneity and edge, and also there's a sense of community in different aspects. And I think this show that I'm going to talk about has, you know, a very strong before context to it. And I think it's a good one to kind of wrap up this episode, our comeback episode with. And I had forgotten about this too. Again, it's just, it's amazing thinking about different things and wanting to know, like, you know, or trying to remember things, right? So this show is Rock the Bells, Chicago, 2007.
I was there too.
Yeah, we were there together. Yeah, we were covering it. Yeah, for our, you know, the music magazine scene, we were covering it. And yeah, you're a photographer, so you're taking pictures.
I was
pictures.
In the pit.
Yeah, so the context for this, and
I was in the photo pit, not the mosh pit.
Yeah.
I gotta specify.
Right. And really the context for this Rock the Bells show was that Michael Jackson had passed. And you know, that was something that was really, really special to this moment. It was tragic, but it really set the tone, because as you're kind of walking up, you know, to these shows, and you're looking at it, you know, it's like, well, you know, wow, like, this is really what's, you know, what's happening in this moment. And I remember walking up, and there were memorials, you know, there were people talking about him, there were you know, just all types of different, you know, people paying tribute to him, people, and you know, like, all the elements of hip hop, right? Rap, or you know, the rhyming, graffiti, art. There was this beautiful thing that was like a portrait to MJ graffiti tagged out there, and people were talking about it. But you could just feel like people were bringing those emotions that were really raw. Like, you know, the king of pop just died, you know, and that was a big moment for everybody. So it was like this, all this emotion was coming into the show, and it really set the scene. So fast forward to one of the headliners, right? Because Nas was there, and then you had the Wu-Tang was there, and that's where, you know, we had a moment that was really kind of crazy. So you had this, like, people mourning, and you had grief, and then you had this other stuff going on with, like, you know,
there was some anger. I feel like there was some.
Yeah, there was
a little upset.
It was just a lot of emotion. Yeah, it was very emotionally charged. You know, more than, you know, Wu-Tang. Just, they have
a lot of fists in the air.
They have a lot of it's hip hop. You know, and it's definitely Wu-Tang has. They have an edge, to say the least. You know, and that's what makes their music really, you know, unique and memorable, and just, you know, people love it. You know, connect with that. You know, that New York City edge that they bring. But we're in the pit, right? Or we're in the pit, and we're taking pictures. You're taking pictures, and I'm kind of watching you and watching the band, because I'm trying to scribble down notes, and we got people right behind us. And we got the, you know, the band guys, the Wu-Tang Clan, swirling, you know, on stage.
And one of the fans that love them decided.
Yeah. And we had kind of, like, it was getting rowdy before, you know, people were, you know, cussing and swearing back and forth, like, you know, this and that, and kind of things were getting, you could feel the energy starting to rise and push, and, you know, it's kind of getting to this little boiling point You know, and there's a song that I'm sure every Wu-Tang fan is familiar with, you know, called, oh my gosh, I'm
forgetting. Ruckus?
Yeah. Bring the Ruckus.
Bring the Ruckus.
Bring the Ruckus, right? Yep. And that's why I think that we have a little bit of a theory about this experience. Like, I think that maybe it was fabricated, but maybe not. Maybe they just were playing the moment. We're like, we just had this little thing going on, and then they did it. But what had happened is that Fan said something to Wu-Tang up on stage. He cursed him out. You know, he said, F you or whatever, right, on there. And, you know.
One of their band members was there, sort of memorial to him.
Yeah, ODB. ODB had passed, I believe.
And he yelled something.
Yeah, he said, where the heck is...
We don't... You know, yeah, where is he?
Where's ODB? You know, right. Blah, 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 blah. He's kind of inciting them.
Touched
him.
A nerve with the band.
You know, so all of a sudden, and you can feel this kind of going back and forth, and I'm looking at you, you know, you're trying to snap the picture, get the shots. We honestly get the heck out of there because it was a little crazy.
Getting crazy. Because you remember, in the pits, there's people behind me.
Yeah.
You feel the energy of thousands of crowd.
It's a little pressure.
And then you got the energy of the artist in front of you.
Yeah.
And you're only in... I mean, those gates are not like solid gates. I mean, they move.
Yeah, it was getting...
So you could be crushed.
It was getting a little crazy, and you got your expensive camera. Right. You know,
we have some equipment
we're concerned
on us,
about. Because if that thing gets busted, you can't take pictures, and that's hard to do. I'll take pictures without camera. And, I was more concerned about you and, you know, you getting myself, more of you getting hurt. So all of a sudden I see this thing and we can share a link to the show notes here. You know, I actually had forgotten that I wrote, when I wrote the review for the show, I kind of started the review with a kind of explanation of, how the situation unfolded and what had happened. Then all of a sudden someone says something from the stage. Or from the crowd, somebody says something from the stage. Again, they're kind of vowing back and forth, and all of a sudden, I see this Hennessy bottle go fling. Like one of the guys, I don't remember who it was,
just misses me.
Just flings right. It goes right past your head, right past the camera, and boom,
against the gate.
Was it into the gate?
Yeah, there's like a gate. Was a gate behind me?
Yeah,
wall
bang,
gate.
It just kind of bounces off. I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay.
And then another one proceeds.
Yeah, another one, beer bottle or something, right?
It was, yeah, something is thrown at me. So I. At that point, the security said, get out of here.
Yeah,
we were ushered out.
I was like, that's enough. And I kind of looking over my shoulder and, you know, we were actually, you had pulled up some of the old YouTube videos about that show. And it kind of reminded me, we were seeing that actual.
And the fans were hit with these bottles too.
Interaction.
You know, there was someone that
I guess there were water bottles or, you know, but definitely it was a Hennessy bottle, liquor bottle of some sort. And I remember that thing just like, whing, and I could hear it, it's like, whoosh, just like. Whip and then crash,
crack,
you know, like on,
break,
on
yeah.
the thing. I was like, oh my god, okay, let's like, and then it just reached this fever point pitch, and I was like, boom, okay, let's get out of here. I'm like, did you get your shot? Like, that's what I'd always ask you, like, can we get out of here? Because, like, did you get your shot? I always ask you something. I was like, what was it? Did you get some good shots? That's what I always ask you, and you're like, yeah, let's get out of here. And we kind of duck out there. It was like a war zone. It was like similar to, I don't know. It felt like that. We were kind of caught in the crossfire, right? But I always remember that because that was, you know, Nas was great. Rock the Bells. It was crazy. It was fun. You had the MJ, you know, Michael Jackson passing. So it was just weird mix of like grief and anger and energy release too. I think people wanted to like release like what was happening, you know. So you had this again, this like before, during, and after thing that was happening. And like I still remember that show. I can, you know, there's, you know, like you said earlier, the smells. I can smell. I can't smell the Hennessy necessarily, but I can smell the sweat of the pit. People are like sweating because it was so hot. It was the summertime. It was like summertime Chicago. So hot and sweaty. I just smell like nasty sweaty, you know. A little bit of beer mixed in, and I'm like, boom, okay, I'm back in the pit with Wu-Tang in the middle of them and their fans. So so that's my story. So
I can get how some of these, you know, you look back at some of these concerts that have created some violent incidences or undertones. I get that from being at this show because, you know, the yelling just created all that emotion and energy from the crowd. And, you know, I could see where that could go south real quick. You got a lot of people willing to get crazy or angry and in a moment there. I know, you know, and I think when you hear about some of these shows where, you know, people are pushing people and people are getting smashed and people are, you know, running because there's a fire and, you know, this person is shooting. I mean, there's so much that has gone on at live shows throughout the years. And I can see where an event like this could turn really deadly, you know, which is scary. It's very scary, you know. In this situation, it was kind of something we can sit here and talk about. Yeah. But there have been some situations, you know, where, and I hope to have some of those people on the show where they've had some really scary situations where people have died.
Serious, yeah. You know? Yeah. A lot of the astral world stuff I think you're referencing with Travis astral Scott. And a lot of that is very real. Yeah, some violent
venues. And the Vegas concert that unfortunately just some there
really
was
traumatic
scary
events
stuff,
that happened in the context of live music, you know, I think. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, like those moments, tragic, absolutely. And I think it's important to kind of understand those, look back on those and see what's happening. One, to see how you can obviously avoid them if ever possible. But, you know, but really, you know, just unpack that. Because, yeah, I mean, I totally forgot until you remembered me or reminded me about the Glenn Cochee piece. Like that was a traumatic event.
And maybe we should all have safety plans.
For live shows.
Absolutely. Like, where do you go when you're
in a situation
where there might be, you know, problems? Like, where do you go? Do you run to the exit? Do you...
Situational awareness.
Do you even know where the exits are? Like, do you even care where the exits are? I mean, is that something that you should be prepared for when you go to some of these shows? You don't have to worry about that when you're virtual, though.
You just have to worry about, you know, don't trip over your own coffee table. Like, that's probably... You know, don't trip over your bed, you know, if you're watching your concert in your bedroom. On, you know, because I've seen those people at shows on
with the VR
in the metaverse.
Yeah.
And they like trip over their own coffee table or they punch their friend in the face with the thing and they're just not realizing, right? So it's kind of, you know, you can rock out, but man, be careful for sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that, that wraps.
It's kind of a taste.
Yeah.
So if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, that's like a taste of kind of what we talk about. But it's not going to always be us. It's going to be, you know, people out there, fans. Maybe you're listening now and you want to be on our show.
Yeah. If you've got a story, we'd love to hear it. You know, and we're going to go through. Yeah, different generations, different venues, different genres. You know, heck, just within this episode, we talked rock, hip hop, you know, but we're going to go into jazz, funk, you know, all types of music. You know, it doesn't have to be a big name band because we believe live music happens in all different shapes and sizes. So it could be, we might be talking about like, you know, what happened to your, you know, experience at a piano recital for your kids, you know, or to seeing Wu-Tang, you know, or Travis Scott or whoever. You know, I think live music comes in many shapes and sizes,
and we want to record these memories. We want to record these ideas, this research that's out there too about live music that's new. You know, we want to record this stuff because, you know, we do have unfortunately we don't have endless time to spend with people and to record these stories that have marked our lives.
Yeah, I think a lot to explore, so we're really excited to come back, kick off our welcome back episode, and re-engage, you know, with you, with fans.
Live Fix Podcast is a production of Live Fix Media and is produced by Chris and Colleen Catania. Hey, we know every concert fan has a live music story to share, and we'd love to share yours in a future episode. So head on over to livefixpodcast.com and click on Share Your Story. We look forward to hearing from you. Like what you heard? Did you get inspired by the stories of your fellow concert fans? Then help support Live Fix Podcast by subscribing and sharing a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We appreciate your support, and thanks for listening.